Hello and welcome to Keanu Club. Like a cool breeze over the mountains, this is episode 4, One Step Away from 1985. I'm Mike Manzi.
And I'm Joey Lewandowski, and unfortunately, for the second time already in the young run of Keanu Club, we've had to skip one of Keanu's credits. He did one episode of a TV series called Comedy Factory in 1985, episode called Fast Food, so you know it's got to be great. But like Hanging In, which was the first thing he ever did, it appears that Comedy Factory does not exist in any form online. In legal form, in illegal form, not even on YouTube, not even clips. If you know how we could get our hands on his appearance in Comedy Factory, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it's too bad. It sounds great. I would have loved to have seen it, but onward and forward we go.
Today we're talking about One Step Away, which seems like a Canadian after-school special or TV movie or something, and we're joined by a contributor to Wikia, the fandom site, Mike Flynn. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So we got a couple mics here to talk about Keanu in his first starring role in One Step Away.
If you notice in the opening credits, it is produced by the Film Board of Canada.
Yep.
That is the production company. It is not a major studio or network. It is simply the Film Board of Canada.
It's available in two parts on YouTube, in total about 27 minutes. I don't know if there, like, it feels like there could be more, but it also feels like there isn't necessarily more. Like, do you guys both think that we got the full scope of the story with what we watched?
I think that was the full thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is all there is. I have a suspicion that the National Film Board of Canada rolled out a couple of specials. This is the only one that Keanu starred in, so I didn't try and track down anything else that this national production company has produced.
What's weird about it is that the pace is crazy, and that Keanu, for, you know, the second in a row, actually the third in a row, all three of his acting roles in Night Heat, Letting Go, and now One Step Away, he plays like a young punk, he plays like a hoodlum, he plays a criminal, and the whole thing is about him getting into trouble and sort of getting out of trouble, and his mother trying to figure out what to do with him. And by the end of the movie, or the end of the episode, there's like 3 minutes left, and there's like this grand crisis. I mean, we're jumping ahead, but Keanu's like, I'm just going to leave. And then he leaves, and then the episode is over. And so they set up this thing that could be the beginning of the second act, but instead it's just the end of everything. So it's a strange pace, it's a strange structure, and it's just sort of fascinating to see this half-hour special aired on Canadian TV exist today in 2016.
It's extremely bizarre, and you mentioned his fashion sense where he's some kind of punk. He's got this, I don't know if it's like a cross or a diamond, but his...
I think it's a cross.
That earring doesn't quit.
It's a clip-on.
And he's got a trench coat that looks like the same one that Chow Yun-Fat wears in a lot of his early movies. He's walking around all cool and badass, and he gets this adrenaline rush pulling B&Es, and he starts out with that Christ statue. Then he goes to jewelry, and he steals Wonder Woman's bracelet.
Well, he doesn't steal Wonder Woman's bracelet, and that's sort of important because he really had nothing to do with that crime. That Jesus statue is really the only thing that we actually see him steal. And it's kind of weird to think about how actually prolific or deplorable of a criminal he is, because he has this history, right? He's got this track record. But the only thing we really see him do is break into this woman's home, or this guy's home, on a dare, we find out. And then he says no to robbing that old woman. So it's weird. Like, he's not really a bad guy. He's just caught between like a rock and a hard place.
He's in a tough place. He's growing up. He's got growing pains, got angst.
So much angst.
The Jesus statue he steals looks... The place he steals it from looks exactly like Sarah Connor's apartment in the first turn.
Well, first, is he breaking in during the day? It seems like daytime when he's in there looking around with his flashlight. He's not exactly the smartest crook on the block either. He's playing the bad boy here, but you're right. It's puberty. It's all that kind of stuff. It's just being a teen. He didn't even really want to break into this place. He did it to look cool in front of his peers. It was a dare to do it. So.
Right, it was a dare.
Tell me why you did it, Ron, please.
No reason.
No reason? Now what does that mean, that you're crazy? Will you look at me when I'm talking to you?
Okay! The guys did that building a couple weeks ago. They dared me. They said I had no guts.
You did it on a dare.
He only got caught here because they hit the same apartment building for like the third time in a month, and this person, whoever lived in this apartment, decided to get like, what did they say, like a laser tripwire or something that alerts the cops immediately.
First shot and of so the movie is the actual device, and then his Converse walks across it.
Yeah, and so 30 seconds later, the cops are already on their way. And it's like, oh, okay, like he just didn't have a chance from the start, but also he is committing a crime. He is doing a B&E. It's just, it's not like he's a good, like we can't really defend him here, but his back's sort of up against the wall, against society, against his friends. He's sort of looking down the barrel of a gun from the first scene in this movie.
He's one step away.
Well, you know, he doesn't have a dad, so maybe he's dealing with those abandonment issues. He's being raised by a single mother who's a waitress, who's going to lose her job because of his shenanigans, and he's just got copping a bad attitude all the time, you know? Like, yeah, he just needs something to rebel against.
It's a good thing that the Canadian legal and judicial system is extremely friendly, if we're to believe, from this film. The judge is sort of like, okay, never let this happen again.
Right? He's like, yeah, you basically have till Friday not to get in trouble, and then I'll sentence you to community service or something like that. And he can't even keep it together for a week.
No, he can't. And then he goes to school. And this is probably one of my favorite parts because it's got a good Keanu freak out. Comes in. He doesn't have any idea that it's a – I think it's a math test that he's late for.
I don't know what that class is. I feel like – I'm not sure, but I feel like the school that he's in, that's just like his only class. Because
like remedial class for
because he, you know, he we're going to find out that he's going to flip out. He's going to basically drop out of school, and he goes home and explains it to his mom. And the way that he talks about his teacher, it's like the teacher is the only teacher. Although maybe, I guess you could also interpret it as like he's the only teacher that has a problem with Keanu. And so whatever class it was, I guess it's sort of math or out, whatever. And he goes in there, and you're right. Like, he puts up a big fight, a big show, trying to look like the cool kid, the tough guy in front of the whole class.
Yeah, the teacher's all like, you're 45 minutes late. And Keanu's like, 48 minutes, sir.
And the whole class laughs, because that is the pinnacle of comedy.
Before he storms out, he's like, I got the best excuse in the world for being late, and it certainly is.
I've had just about enough from you. Now, either you tell me why you're late, or you go explain yourself in the principal's office.
It's none of your business why I'm late.
Oh, yes, it is my business. I have a collection of my own. It's called Lame Brain Excuses, and you're the leading contributor. So let's hear it.
You want an excuse? I have a great excuse.
I can't wait.
I was in court because I got busted for a B&E. How's that for a great excuse?
Wait a minute, mister. Hey, did I say you can leave?
No!
Well, come back here!
That's when he quit school.
Yes, over a test.
I think he said later the teacher just wouldn't stop ragging on him, man, you know? Everything's a hassle to young Keanu. Cops are hassling him, his mom's hassling him, the teacher hassles him.
The point is, I'm a hassle to you, right?
You're a hassle to yourself.
You think I want any more hassles? But everything's a hassle, man. Everything.
No one can get off his back, man. I'm starting to feel for the kid a little bit.
That's a subplot that I think is part of the lost deleted scenes.
Like, this was actually whittled down to 30 minutes from 88 minutes.
Right. It was a feature-length film, and they were going to air it on Canadian television. They finally decided, you know what? Fuck it. We're just going to air it as a special.
Cut it down to the Keanu storyline, and that's all we get.
Because he's pretty much in every scene, or he's the focus of every scene that he's not in, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, the only time he's really not on screen is when his mom is with the landlord or his mom is with the judge, and all they're talking about is him. So, like, this is just 100% him. No other characters really matter in the slightest. It's all about Keanu all the time.
What is up with the old man who lives down the hall? That character was crazy. He basically represents the senior society and how he thinks young kids are ruining stuff. It reminded me of like a Clockwork Orange vibe when you know, of the bum, where he's like, oh, you teenagers are good for nothing.
Are you still going to tell me it wasn't you broke into my place last month?
That's right. It wasn't me.
Oh, breaking into an old man's place like that. I'll bet if I'd been home, you would have killed me just for that.
Hey, do me a favor, okay? Leave me alone.
You damn punk kids.
They're just projecting everything onto Keanu, and Keanu is supposed to personify all the teenagers, I suppose. But this guy is, like, really laying it on thick and yelling at him, and it was all kinds of scary and crazy and confusing to me. And I was just like, this is nuts, man.
It's kind of intense. Like, there's a history there, but it's not well laid out enough or well defined enough or, you know, well backstoried enough for us to really know. I guess we're just supposed to assume that Keanu's been like a thorn in this building's side, right? That he's always getting into trouble. Maybe he and his friends are making lots of noise, pissing off all the residents. And this old man, stereotypically grouchy and cranky anyway, he's just had enough enough is enough. He's had enough with Keanu. He's going to call him out on it. And that the landlord's tired of him. This guy's tired of him. I think the building just sort of sees him as this pest. And we don't really get a sense of the rest of the building, but it seems like Keanu's kind of the only kid who lives in this building.
It seems like that, but there's something called a budget.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously that. But I mean, you know, you could do, even with like a minimal budget, you could still show more. As far as we can see, there's four people who live in this building.
And they all hate Keanu. Even his mom turns against him at some point. And the landlord is like, I'll let you stay if you kick your son out. I'm like, whoa. Everyone's really coming down hard on him. They're basically giving him no choice.
She does that because he has to run away from home. They need that part of the story to explain everything. So it's a dramatic purpose.
The best part of the story, too. The runaway sequence is just fantastic. But
The runaway sequence is basically a Death Wish sequel without the action.
But before that, what I found interesting was he gets released and he's walking the streets and he's back with his friends, and his friends want to rob an old lady. And he's like, no. I was like, whoa, look at this. Okay, starting to reform. We're getting some arc here. You know, he wants to change maybe. And then he just gets fingered during the crime anyway and blamed and caught. And it's like, oh, gosh, can't catch a break. He's going down no matter what happened. That leads to him getting the power bracelet from his friends. Okay. And then the idea was like, he wants to return that to the old lady, but his mom doesn't believe him. So it's like, what could he do? He's got to run away.
Can we talk about the mom for a minute? Because like the focus of this whole thing is Keanu, obviously, and he's sort of being thrown into some uncomfortable situations, and he's sort of putting himself in these situations, but he's running into some bad luck. But this mom, her only crime, really, is that she has this delinquent son, right? Her boss is pissed at her. This judge is sort of mad at her. The judge is putting like a lot of pressure on the mom. The landlord is mad at her. She's behind on her rent. She just cannot catch a break from any man in her life. Like, she is being let down on all sides. Keanu is the star here, and Keanu is the problem, and he's leading to her, you know, issues or whatever. But it's just tough. It's brutal. Like, her life is sad.
Yeah, I mean, she clocks 50 hours a week at Tim Hortons. She has a delinquent son. She's behind on the rent with a landlord who would be the worst landlord you've ever had, no matter what age you are, because that dude becomes the villain in the last 3 minutes. But I do want to blame the mother for something, for all of her financial woes.
Okay.
Is that despite the fact that she has all this debt and she's trying to save her son, she somehow gets a better haircut when she's unemployed.
I didn't notice that. It's amazing.
That's part of the government welfare, I suppose. And she paid for it with food stamps.
Maybe it's just like Marcia Clark and OJ, that we're all, you know, now obsessed with OJ once again. We see her haircut dilemmas, 80s, 90s haircuts. It's important. It's a big deal. Yeah.
Well, you're definitely right about this mom. Even when Keanu misses his court date, she has to put up an extra grand, right? Because he doesn't show, so she's got to sell the car. And that definitely got to cut into the rent as well and stuff. So, yeah, she is just heavy burden for her.
Now, remember, it's $1,000 in Canadian dollars in 1985, which is a lot weaker than American dollars in 85.
So are you saying it's not much?
It's not as much, the Canadian dollar, at least then. I think the Canadian dollar is a little stronger now than the American dollar, but in 1985, a Canadian dollar was a lot weaker than the American dollar.
So it's not a lot of money, but it's still, you know, for a single mom who is just working paycheck to paycheck, having to pay an extra $1,000 out of nowhere is not cool, and then being a couple months behind on her rent's not good, and having her landlord, I mean, it's just, she... Whether it's you know, $1,000 or $500 or whatever, it's a lot of money for
absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely, I'm just saying that it's sure. not as much as an American dollar. They don't have Reaganomics in Canada.
What I think is kind of funny is that throughout the entire short film or whatever you want to call it, Keanu keeps promising he's going to send his mom money, but never at any point does he actually do anything to try to earn money, let alone for her or even for himself. Like, he kind of just hangs out with his friends. He goes online at that, like, homeless shelter or the place to get cheaper free food. Like, there's no effort made. So is he just, like, flat out lying to her?
Yeah, right? He just wants to sound like none of this bothers him and he's a big man and, like, he can just take care of himself. But we got to talk about this hitchhiking sequence, right? Like, his mom smacks him in the face, right? And
yep.
He screams he's gone for good. And I'm writing down, this is heavy stuff.
You just want me out of here so you can keep this dump.
Go on, get out! See how you like it out there on your own.
If I go, I'm gone for good.
God!
And the next thing, it cuts to him hitchhiking with some of the best music. And this music is insane, first of all. I just have to say, like, the music is full-on 80s rock. This guy, I had to write his name down, Howard Foreman, because it's the only thing he ever did. It sounds like he wanted to be part of ZZ Top or something. It's insane. And during the hitchhike sequence, it makes hitchhiking look awesome. I was getting really excited at this. I was like, look at the 80s in Canada. You could totally hitch anywhere you wanted.
Yeah, it's only 320 kilometers to Montreal.
And I must say that it gives you the good idea of hitchhiking, which then if you watch The Hitcher right after this, and no, not the fucking remake, the original with Rutger Hauer, you will have the opposite opinion. But then again, hitchhiking in Canada is probably a lot nicer than hitchhiking in Earth.
Oh, it's all maple syrup and it's, and, you know, Mounties and...
And vampires. Yeah. I mean, wait a minute. Who was that guy, like, hanging out on the street with him? I think he goes to Toronto and visits, like, a homeless shelter. But then he's kind of hanging on the street and some kid comes up and asks if he wants to make some money. And Keanu's like, yeah, sure. And this dude looks like The Walking Dead to me. I was like,
oof. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? I thought they were delving into a male prostitution subplot. And I was going to be like, whoa, that's way too much, buddy. I don't know why we're going there. Like, he's going to sell his body? That ain't fun. But then I remembered, it's Canada. There's not as many perverts in Canada if we're learn from the friendliness of the people despite their aggravation.
Although Canada not too far from Alaska, as we learned in The Frozen Ground, you know, Ho Ro, live and kicking in the '80s. Yeah. So I mean, there is a chance for prostitution on the Great White North. So let's not count out Keanu's future as a potential male prostitute in this world.
Although I can tell you that according to a friend of mine, the strip club age is a flat 18 in Montreal. So he could definitely have hit those up.
What I was kind of shocked to see make an appearance in this part was a firearm, an actual gun.
I don't boost with anybody dumb enough to carry a piece.
Man, you don't toke, you don't boost. What the hell do you do?
It's a damn good question. Later.
And then Keanu's like, I'm out of here. Hitches back. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, because he says he won't do any boosts if they have a gun. Like, he doesn't mind robbing people, but he doesn't want to rob anybody using a gun, which I guess is sort of like a good moral line to have. And I guess that's sort of the final straw, that he's not able to make it up the streets of Toronto, the mean streets of Toronto. And so he returns home, and he sort of gets home and, like, everything's kind of better, right? Like, the bracelet that his mom finds and was pissed off about, she returns it to the woman.
Yep.
The woman believes that Keanu wants to return it to her. The mom's like, and I do too. And then they go to the judge, and the judge is like, you know, I like that you're a stand-up guy. I like that you come back and talk to me. You know, I want to make sure that you keep doing good things, but I can be really lenient on you. And then he's like, hey, Mom, everything's going great. Like, we should buy some lotto tickets. Dude. And they're like, ha, 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 ha.
It's Portugal, New Orleans all over again.
Then, like, you know, we have all this, like, happiness. We have this closure. We have this positivity. And then it all gets turned again because the landlord sees him come in and storms right up and says, you give me your decision by 5 o'clock because I got to get out of here early. Basically, kick Keanu out or you get out too because you owe 3 months' rent. Keanu's like, I'll just get out of here. And then he leaves, and then it ends. Like, it's so weird.
But it does not end before he throws up the John Bender victory fist.
It's very true. To his mom, who's sort of throwing it up in return to him from the apartment.
It feels complete to me. Like, it feels like Keanu has arced. He started this movie in one place, and he's ending it as a different sort of person. He is okay that he's not allowed to stay there, and that the landlord isn't pissing him off anymore. You know, he's ready to take responsibility for himself, and that's why he leaves.
I really don't know.
I also want to make a special note of the end credits in the cast. Not only is Keanu Reeves a major cast member, but there was a special appearance by Max the Wonder Dog.
Was there a dog in this?
There was, very briefly, but he got the special appearance credit, which is important.
I'm sure that was in his rider or his contract or whatever.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, there's nobody else important. Like, if you look on IMDb, all the people listed for this movie pretty much have no pictures. Like, they're all just Canadian actors who kind of one and done. So if, you know, Max the Wonder Dog, if he's got the most pull behind Keanu and behind Diana Belshaw, who plays Keanu's mom, you know, go for you, Mike the Wonder Dog. Like, nail it. Kill it.
Yeah, but then Max the Wonder Dog didn't get Point Break or any of those movies. He didn't get to have the fame that
now do we know that for sure?
We'll find out if he ever returns and co-stars with Keanu again, that's for sure.
Very good point. And that's pretty much one step away. Mike Flynn, was there anything else in your notes that you didn't mention that you wanted to make sure that we covered before we signed off?
There's a part, I think he says this about the landlord, but
okay.
I could do adult Keanu Reeves, but I'm not sure if I can pull off the Keanu Reeves that's 19 years old. But he's sort of like, I'd like to kick his face in.
I'd like to kick his face in. Just for the way he talks to you.
Yeah, it's true. Very true. Very angry, young, rebellious Keanu. I think that was a pretty decent teenage Keanu.
Yeah, very, very passable.
Very passable. But yeah, that's a he's angry, but I think it's also justified because that guy's just not nice to him.
He's not nice.
Mike Manns, anything else you wanted to cover before we sign off?
Just that this was kind of a weird one, you know, a little half-hour after-school special. I guess Letting Go was sort of like a Lifetime movie, so it's we're in that wheelhouse still. This kind of reminded me of HBO used to have this show called Life Stories, Family in Crisis.
To mention that.
Right?
Yeah.
It feels like one of those.
Yeah.
That even starred young people who are now very famous, such as Batman Ben Affleck.
Really?
He was in one about steroid abuse.
Interesting. The one I have seen that I saw in my driver's ed class in my sophomore year of high school had Sam Rockwell as a guy who I think he commits a hit and run while drunk.
I had a real sort of nostalgia kick out of this with Keanu as a teenage dropout runaway punk rock hoodlum. I mean, come on, you can't really, you know, you can't ask for more than that. Not in a half hour. I thought it was very entertaining, as you could tell. I want there to be a longer version somewhere at some point, but take what I could get.
It's locked in a vault with the Day the Clown Cried and the 3-hour version of The Breakfast Club where Rick Moranis played the janitor.
Yeah, but at least if you want to see this, you can see it on YouTube. It's in its entirety for as far as we can tell, split over two clips. One Step Ahead, Keanu Reeves. Just search it on YouTube and you can find it. So thank you, Mike Flynn, for joining us. You're one of our first guests, and you'll be back for a couple episodes real soon. A couple actual, like, maybe studio movies. Who knows? We will find out soon enough.
And it was an absolute pleasure talking with you guys.
So for all things Keanu Club, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub, and you can find all past podcasts, what's coming up next, all things Keanu at both those two places. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manson.
And that was Mike Flynn, and we'll see you next time on Keanu Club.
You think I want any more hassles?